This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hello, friends. This is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I am Jamie Allman, honored to be filling in for the man who is most clearly a biological male and also dresses like one. I'll get to that in just a second, regarding the biological male, at least. And I realize that we are happy World War III Eve to all of you. I just want to be the first to let you know that we're on the verge. Maybe. We'll see. And we're going to talk about that, but, you know, there's a more pressing issue, seemingly, on Capitol Hill. And suddenly we're back to transgendered bathrooms. I don't know how we do this. I don't know how this happens all the time. This hard-fought, consequential win by Donald Trump. We've got a great slate of cabinet appointees. We've got a fabulous staff that's being developed right there in the White House. We've got a new victory coalition of people who were probably never Republicans before, but are Republicans now, or at least voted Republicans now. But here we are. It's transgender bathroom time, people. And what's happening on Capitol Hill is what I'm talking about. And it is on the onset of the election of a trans rep-elect, they call her, or him, or it, whatever that is, Sarah McBride, Democrat from Delaware. And so Sarah gets elected and is on its way to the Capitol. And Nancy Mace, congresswoman, says, we're going to have to think about this a little bit, because suddenly, for the first time in history, we have a transgender person who presumably is going to have to use the bathroom at some point in its life and its day. And so Nancy Mace, who is pretty ballsy, she's pretty gutsy, she's got it going on, decides she's going to be the first out of the block to put forth a proposal to make sure that only biological males can use the male restroom and biological males cannot use the female restroom. It's very simple, and Nancy explains it.
That being a feminist makes me an extremist. I'm totally here for it.
Is this effort in response to Congresswoman McBride coming to Congress?
Darn
yes,
it is.
And absolutely, and then some. I'm not going to stand for a man. If someone with a penis is in the women's locker room, that's not okay. And I'm a victim of abuse myself. I'm a rape survivor. I have PTSD from the abuse I've suffered at the hands of a man. And I know how vulnerable women and girls are in private spaces. So I'm absolutely 100% going to stand in the way of any man who wants to be in a women's restroom, in our locker rooms, in our changing rooms. I will be there fighting you every step of the way.
Yeah. So they're going to have to vote on this eventually. And I guess the question will be asked, well, why wouldn't you want a transgendered person who is biological male in your bathroom? What kind of snob and bigot are you? Why would you not want a transgendered person in your bathroom? Well, I don't know. Check TikTok.
Congresswoman Nancy Mace, I hope that one day I do find you in that woman's bathroom and I grab your ratty looking hair and drag your face down to the floor while I repeatedly bash it in until the blood's everywhere and you're dead. Thank you. I hope that Nancy Mace receives this.
Yeah, well, I guess there's the answer. That could be a really good reason why Nancy Mace doesn't want a transgendered person, a biological male, in the women's bathrooms. Because apparently this biological male, who identifies as a female, has decided that the next time, I guess, it's at the Capitol, maybe protesting a Supreme Court nominee or whatever, that's going to be its first stop, is the women's bathroom looking for Nancy Mace. So it totally and completely proves her point. And I'm not saying that Sarah McBride, you know, it's interesting that Sarah McBride, so far, as best I've been able to determine, has not been in the situation where Sarah McBride has said anything at all about this bathroom, this bathroom issue. But it's a thing now. And it's such a thing that Speaker Mike Johnson, you know, listen, this is silly season. This is a time when we ought to be talking about real issues facing America. I get it. But the reporters decide they're going to try to trap Mike Johnson. They're going to try to make Mike Johnson answer a critical question, to them at least.
Mr. Speaker, is freshman-elect Sarah McBride a man or a woman?
So, isn't that interesting? Because all this time we're being told by the woke media and the woke left that whether or not somebody is transgendered, a male or female, it's nobody's business. If they feel like they are a woman and they're a biological male, then you need to just leave them alone. It's nobody's business but their own. Of course, until they use a bathroom that is not congruent with their actual biological sex. But nonetheless, it's interesting how the news media then will immediately ask the House Speaker whether or not Sarah McBride is a man or a woman, as if it actually is going to matter. It will matter in the voting, but in terms of his particular opinion, it doesn't really matter because Sarah McBride, after all, says it is a female. And so it's funny how they'll go ahead and pivot right to someone like Mike Johnson to determine whether or not this person is a man or woman. Now, keep in mind, there are plenty of Democrats who will refuse to define what is a man or a woman. We, of course, have a person on the Supreme Court who can't tell us what a man or a woman is. So how this is going to be adjudicated at the Capitol Hill level is going to be very entertaining. Not as entertaining as World War III, but it will be entertaining.
Look, I'm not going to get into this. We welcome all new members with open arms who are duly elected representatives of the people. I believe it's a command that we treat all persons with dignity and respect, and we will. And I'm not going to engage in silly debates about this. There's a concern about the uses of restroom facilities and locker rooms and all that. This is an issue that Congress has never had to address before, and we're going to do that in deliberate fashion with member consensus on it, and we will accommodate the needs of every single person. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Yeah, we'll accommodate the needs of Sarah McBride, that's for sure. We won't accommodate the needs of Nancy Mace. I guarantee you this will be a war, even though Republicans are now controlling the House. You never know whether some of these namby-pambies are going to go ahead and give in. And I mean, listen, in schools, in certain places, they do have transgendered or multi-sex bathrooms or whatever. And you probably will wind up paying for a brand new transgendered he-she locker room, a brand new transgendered he-she bathroom. And that's probably what they're going to do. Now, for the life of me, I can't imagine why a biological male who would have biological parts would even be remotely interested in going into a women's bathroom, unless, of course, said person is seemingly entitled in some way, shape, or form to going into a women's bathroom. And that's where the rubber is going to meet the road here. And that's where we're going to have this big battle now over transgendered bathrooms on Capitol Hill after the most consequential election that we have had in our entire lives, or at least most of our entire lives. But again, why would a biological male even want to go into a female bathroom is beyond me. We know why that one goofball wants to go into the female bathroom, and that's to pull Nancy Mace's hair. But for the rest of them, have no idea what is up, and we'll see. But I think you're going to be on the hook, and I'll be on the hook too, when it comes to providing accommodations for those who need to be accommodated. But only certain people in this country are worthy of accommodation. We know that. All right, coming up, Yep, World War III. You know, France has weapons. I didn't know that either. This is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I'm Jamie Allman, proud to be here with you.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
Welcome back to the Jesse Kelly Show. Jamie Allman here. Happy to be filling in for the great one, Jesse Kelly. And so, yeah, we're supposedly on the verge of World War III now. And that is because Joe Biden and the deep state decided to create another version of COVID. This is the war version of COVID. COVID came and the deep state and the Democrats and the news media decided they were going to try to weaponize said disease. And it was one big fat overreaction. And it was designed to corrupt our fine, peaceful society. It was designed to bring in brand new voting rules and drop boxes and all that kind of stuff. And it was designed to help steal the election from Donald Trump. It was a disruptor. And this is no different. You see, what happened here is they sent Biden into the jungle, and Blinken and all of his spooks and military industrial complex prostitutes decided they were going to do something that hadn't been done really before, and that is to inject American hardware into this war, meaning, yeah, we sent them weapons and we sent them these long-range missiles, but there was never an intention or at least a policy for Ukraine to use them. Because what happens here, and you don't have to be any Mensa member to understand what's happening here, is that the minute that Ukraine sends American-supplied missiles over into Russia, the United States of America is now inextricably militarily involved in the war. Before, we were just draining the treasury every time Zelensky would open his hand, or you know, they call him a Tiny Tim. He always arrived with a tin cup. More, please, more. And so we just kept dumping money into Ukraine. This is a brand new ball game, and we're trying to figure out, well, why would they possibly do this and trash any possibility of peace at this point? Because now Putin is, of course, a little lathered up. And, of course, you go to the U.S. Sun or you go to any of these media people, and they all act like Vlad is the one that is the crazy one here. When, in fact, and they're calling him a deluded tyrant. Well, it appears that the deluded tyrants really, and not defending Putin by any stretch here in this sense, but the deluded tyrants are the Anthony Blinkens of the world and the deep staters and the Department of Defense and the State Department that allowed this to happen. Because now, of course, if you're Putin, you're not very happy about the fact that suddenly U.S.-supplied weapons are landing in your backyard, long-range weaponry. That was not supposed to happen. That was not supposed to be the deal. And the fact that it is occurring before President Trump takes the oath of office is absolutely on purpose. I don't think anybody could possibly think it was anything different. And then now what we have is a situation where we are militarily involved in this war. And, of course, then we become a co-target along with Zelensky, and that's completely and totally irresponsible, but all, of course, by design. It's all designed to disrupt whatever plan Trump has. And you know what the plan entails mostly? Is we're going to stop draining the treasury for Ukraine. Now, of course, that drives all the people in the military-industrial complex and beyond crazy. And especially those who are getting the kickbacks and the money victory when we spend countless amounts of money on weaponry and beyond, or just on aid, send it back. Zelensky sends it back in a certain way. The investors in the military industrial complex get a bunch of money They have a windfall, and they know what Trump's doing. Because you know what happens is when Trump talks about peace, all they see is their bank accounts dwindling. They don't want peace. So they did this on purpose. And now some of these observers, one of them is even laughing about it.
Troops in the enclave, we don't know. So nobody predicted it. It has happened. The question now is, what was the intention behind Biden's measure?
Yeah, what was the intention? Yeah, we all know what the intention was. The intention is to leave Donald Trump a mess, to leave a quagmire, and to absolutely erase any chance of any peace. And unfortunately, and I'm not calling for the assassination of Zelensky or anything of that nature, but Zelensky has to go in some way, shape, or form. He is right now not only taking our money, but now has been a willful dupe at the hands of the deep state here and the military-industrial complex to start a brand new configuration where now suddenly it's war, it's World War III. You even have Germany and France starting to dust off their long-range missiles. And, of course, I didn't know that France had weapons. I thought they were just depending on us. We have the graves in Normandy to prove that. But hopefully this is a sign that maybe we're not going to have to be completely and totally involved in this. But right now, what's going to happen? Is Putin going to want to even engage in peace talks? And, of course, no one's a Putin fan. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm certainly not a Zelensky fan. I think he's a grifter. I think he's corrupt. I think he's dragging us into something where we don't belong. And I think that Biden and his deep state team and the military-industrial complex gave him everything he needed to keep this thing going even after Donald Trump is sworn into office. It's a shame. I don't think we're going to ever get into World War III, but we shall see. Speaking of war, how about this warrior Scott Jennings at CNN? They can't get rid of him, and he's great. I'll have details on that on the other side. This is The Jesse Kelly Show, and I'm Jamie Allman.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
This is The Jesse Kelly Show. Jamie Allman here, honored to be filling in for the great Jesse Kelly. And Scott Jennings, I don't know whether most of you probably don't watch CNN, unless you were watching, like a lot of people were watching MSNBC and CNN post-election. I mean, they lost, MSNBC at least, lost, you know, almost half its audience in the evening time show to show. And so the only remaining viewers were people like us wanting to watch people cry, basically. And whine and clutch their pearls over the results of the election. And CNN, though, is somewhat entertaining, especially now, since this Scott Jennings guy, who I really like, and he's always on these panels, you know, and for some reason, CNN always does like 9 people on a panel. They're sitting up there. It's like all stacked up. It's like they're on a bus or something. And Scott Jennings always leaves these anchors and these commentators ashen-faced by his facts. And so he's good, and he's been great. At one point, I thought maybe he would do something along the lines of becoming a press secretary or something, but Trump hired a really good one, and I'll have more on that for you just a little later on. She's great. So we want to keep him at CNN because he is a thorn in the side of all of these left-wing crazies, and to CNN's credit, they give him time. So he went toe-to-toe with Jake Tapper. Jake Tapper is, I guess, what, the chairman of the reporting crew there on CNN. He's the standard-bearer. He's the one who's going to put Scott Jennings in his place. But before I get to that, I want to lay the groundwork here for this new analysis by these moonbats about the results of mass deportation, because now apparently they're saying that your eggs are going to go up in price because of mass deportations. And I'm talking about deportations of illegal aliens who are here illegally and who are hired illegally by businesses who are basically illegally operating with illegal aliens. That's pretty much what this is. But CNN decides, well, Dana Bash and this Skippy that she's interviewing, they decide they're going to kind of just go around all that stuff, you know, all that stuff that kind of just gets in the way, like illegal this and illegal that and illegal hiring, all that kind of thing. And so Dana interviews this guy who goes blow by blow on what actually mass deportation will do to the agriculture industry and the food suppliers.
And that's, you know, Matt Egan. You see him there. And Matt, what happens to food, to farming, agriculture, if there are mass deportations when a lot of these businesses...
It's funny how the prices of food went up without mass deportations, isn't it? Yeah. But now this is their new thing, that President Trump is going to cause inflation by getting illegal aliens who are here illegally out of places that illegally hired them.
Use undocumented immigrants.
Yeah, Dana, listen, food would get more expensive, possibly a lot more expensive, and that would directly undercut another Trump campaign promise, which is to get inflation under control.
Oh, now, I see. So now getting rid of illegal aliens who are here illegally and hired illegally by businesses that are operating illegally is going to somehow cause inflation or at least keep inflation up. And I think for most people, and pardon the pun, that is not necessarily a high price to pay to solve our border crisis and to help people, for instance, in inner cities and veterans who are having their resources taken away by illegal aliens. But we continue.
Big economic problem here is that we're talking about industries that are...
And now it's interesting how they're suddenly concerned about inflation. Like they were never concerned about inflation before the election. They, in fact, sloughed it off. Oh, you can afford it. Oh, it's not much. Oh, due to this and that. Some of them didn't even know the real prices of eggs because they don't do their food shopping. Food, like it does for a lot of people in Congress, just magically appears in front of you, kind of like gasoline magically appears in your tank.
Heavily,
you know,
reliant on foreign workers. Many of them are undocumented.
Yeah, that's illegal. So that the fact that a business decides it's going to hire illegals, that's that business's problem. They're operating illegally. But these guys just act like, well, that's just a matter of fact. Of course they're all illegals. So this is just going to hurt them.
When you have fewer workers, it means less food and, yes, higher prices. Let me just show you one example. If you look at farm crop workers, a plurality of people in that industry, 41%, are unauthorized.
That's bad. That's not good. That's bad. And notice that they're not complaining about the fact that 41% of the crop farm workers in the U.S. are illegal. They seemingly have no problem with the fact that these crop producers are operating illegally. And I know a lot of you, although you don't think this way, very few of us do, but imagine all the ways that you could have an easier life if you just operated illegally. You know what I mean? If you didn't have to license your car, if you didn't have to pay your taxes, it would be wonderful. It would be a wonderful life for people if we just were able to operate illegally.
According to the USDA, one farmer in Michigan told me that mass deportations would be, quote, devastating to the ag economy because there just would not be enough people to pick the crops.
Well, there would be enough people to pick the crops if you just decided to operate legally and hire people who are legal to pick crops. Americans aren't averse to picking crops. I'd pick crops if I could, you know, have an extra job or do whatever. I would do that. We're not averse to that. They're only hiring illegals because it's cheaper They certainly don't have to give them anything like health insurance or things like that. It's really super cheap to hire an illegal, which is why they're doing it.
It's not just about farmers. If you look across the food supply chain, there are many different parts of this that rely on tens or even hundreds of thousands of undocumented workers.
Oh, great. So the food supply chain is dependent on illegals. Well, that's not good news. That's not acceptable, even if it is acceptable by the standards of the news people, who apparently, at least they're consistent. They don't believe that an illegal alien crossing a border illegally commits a crime, and they don't believe that businesses that hire the illegal aliens are committing any kind of crime. They just are saying that it's Trump who's the bad guy here, who's trying to install law and order back into this country as it relates to the border and beyond. And they have no problem with the fact that, I mean, this is actually stunning news to me. And it's even more crazy that CNN is even showing us the graph that shows that 41% of crop workers are illegal. That's a problem.
From food processing to groceries and, of course, of restaurants, altogether an estimated 1.7 million people who work in this space are undocumented.
Yeah, that's illegal. It's illegal to hire them. And in fact, back in the day, people like Clinton were the ones who were punishing the people who hired illegal aliens. And it was people like Bush that basically didn't. And so in this situation, this is one of the reasons why we have the people crossing the border to begin with, because they're promised jobs and they know they're going to get hired by companies that are operating illegally. That's exactly what this is. And so to explain this away, like this is just, well, you know, they hire the illegals and the illegals come over here and it's Trump who's the bad guy here, is completely and totally outrageous. And Scott Jennings, and I'll have that on the other side of this, Scott Jennings comes in and gives these people the reality check that they need. But this is actually new information. At least they're doing some reporting on how many illegals are out there. They told us illegal alien ship was not a problem, but apparently it is. This is the Jesse Kelly Show. Jamie Allman here, happy to be filling in. Good to be with you. Oh, loving it, the old Cole Porter. Hey, this is the Jesse Kelly Show. Jamie Allman here, privileged to be filling in for Jesse Kelly. And I'm going to double back here real quickly before I get to Scott. So I'm the youngest of six, so I have three older sisters, two older brothers. And my older brothers beat me relentlessly. And the only time I could play, for instance, corkball or hockey is if I was the goalie as strapped with carpet remnants, and they would just shoot pucks filled with corn at me. Or if I played fuzzball, I'd get a tennis ball to the eye, and that was the price I paid. But you remember the old trick, you know, when you were kids and you had people who are your brothers and sisters would take your hand, and then they would make your hand slap your face, right? Stop hitting, and they would say, stop hitting yourself, stop hitting yourself, stop hitting yourself. Well, that's basically what we're seeing the news media doing constantly now. Before the election, we saw it. After the election, we're seeing it in spades. And this undocumented worker thing, they're doing this whole story about how 41% of crop workers in America are, it's not that they have green cards, they're unauthorized individuals in this country. They're not green card holders. They're basically just unauthorized illegal aliens. And the fact that CNN is reporting this to shoehorn it into some kind of criticism of Donald Trump's deportation policy is nothing short of comical, because for the most part, I think even people who watch CNN, and I think there are some smart people who watch CNN, they're learning something new with every second of this broadcast. Like, oh, I didn't know that 41% of the crop, that's a problem. And that's been the problem we've been talking about as common sense conservatism, conservatives. And so they're telling us information. I didn't even know it was that bad. I mean, I knew the border problem was bad, but I didn't know it was that bad And then they go on to talk about the undocumented workers in the food supply chain, of course.
To groceries and, of course, restaurants. Altogether, an estimated 1.7 million people who work in this space are undocumented. Now, we've reached out to the...
And it's funny how a lot of people, maybe even liberals watching CNN who voted for Trump, are watching this story going, wow, I sure am glad I voted for Trump. This is a travesty. This is one crime of coming across the border illegally and then another crime added to it by hiring them. And they're like, wow, I sure am glad I decided not to go for Kamala because my liberal network is telling me how prolific the problem of illegal alienship is. So in comes Scott Jennings, and of course Jake Tapper's like, hey, wait a minute, not everybody's talking about it. People aren't, going crazy over this whole thing. What do you mean that there's a meltdown about the Trump deporting farm workers?
Who's having a meltdown? About?
Everybody seems to be on the same sheet of music today that this is going to mess up the agriculture industry and drive the grocery prices high. I've seen numerous pieces on it. I've seen everybody seems to be out there talking about it. And so it's.
And by the way, again, this is the same network that didn't think it was a problem that grocery prices were too high, thanks to Kamala Harris and Biden. They were sloughing it off, and now suddenly they're concerned about high grocery prices because said high grocery prices might actually be coming because Trump lived up to his promise of deporting illegal aliens. So now suddenly they're concerned about the price of eggs, which is really unusual. What a transformation. I mean, Donald Trump has done wonders for liberating the locked-in minds of these crazy liberals on CNN.
It strikes me, Jake, that Democrats, this is their new line of attack, that Donald Trump's got a plan to raise your grocery prices simply by following through on his campaign promises, and I just don't think it's true.
I mean, I've been covering this issue for since the first Bush administration in 2001. I mean, this is always one of the issues with it.
Yeah, that's interesting. So Tapper's been covering this story since 2001, knowing the proliferation of illegal aliens who are hired by businesses illegally, and he hasn't said one word about it. So again, stop hitting yourself, Jake Tapper. You're admitting something that actually isn't something that looks good on you. Oh, I've been covering this since 2001. I know how many people hire illegal aliens. Yeah, well, that's the reason why we have so many illegal aliens, because they have these opportunities, and the people who are hiring illegal aliens are indeed part of the problem.
That there are a lot of undocumented immigrants who work for the agricultural sector, and there's always concerns about, are those people actually going to be deported? And if so, what happens to prices for, you know, regular folk?
Never mind the rule of law. I mean, wasn't it Jake Tapper and the rest of the crew who kept on saying no one is above the law, especially when it came to the lawfare against Donald Trump? I think Jake Tapper, I could probably do a mashup if I scour the internet of Jake Tapper saying or interviewing people who would say no one is above the law, no one is above the law. Well, apparently illegal aliens are above the law in Jake Tapper's library, and businesses that hire illegal aliens are above the law in Jake Tapper's library. I mean, it is crazy, the hypocrisy of all this, and especially when you have Tapper as someone who is admitting that he's known this to be a problem since 2001. Weren't these the same people, aside from telling us that grocery prices weren't important, weren't these the same people also telling us that the border wasn't a problem? That illegal aliens and the influx of them really wasn't a problem? They finally had to have black people in Chicago who voted for Trump tell them, yeah, it's a problem. Or people in Philadelphia, Latinos in Philadelphia, who have been busting their rear ends just to get legal and be here, whatever, and suddenly they're undercut by all the illegal aliens. They have to tell the news media. So these guys are suddenly kind of self-fumigating, which I'm really enjoying, and I hope you are too. All right, coming up, another media outlet tries to go after RFK over his war on the big food. And this winds up hilariously. This is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I'm Jamie Allman.
This is an iHeart podcast.